Let's make it happen, Captain.
From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Larry Larson.
And I'm Gov Maharaj.
Welcome to Defrag, and I'm so happy it's post-build.
You had fun?
I had a great time. It was an incredible event. We were out in the middle of the lobby area. Mm-hmm. So as soon as you come in to register, you saw Channel 9 Live. We gave out 2,000 t-shirts and tons of laptop stickers and all kinds of stuff. So, it was fun. And
the kind of laptop stickers that you gave away, are they like the vinyl kind that
yes,
you can...
Yes, of course. They're the really good ones.
The really good ones.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to snake a few from you.
They're right in there. Okay. Yeah. So, of course, we gave out the best. Yeah. And we had t-shirts. The line to get a t-shirt like wrapped around the front
of
the building.
People love
ridiculous.
Swag. People love swag, no matter what the swag it is. People love it.
And so did a Defrag Tools with Andrew. Didn't get a chance to have Mark Rusinovich on. He was talking to press, so I guess that was more important than Defrag Tools. But yeah, we'll hook up with him at Tech Ed, and which that's the next one we're planning for Tech Ed, which is about a month away. So watch Channel 9 Live there, and you'll see us again. We'll do a Defrag Tools.
Lots of cool stuff happened. We announced Update 1.
Yeah.
A lot of cool changes in that one. I think, you know, it's going to be an evolutionary process in listening to people trying to figure out exactly what works, with what we wanted to do with Windows 8, how we wanted to evolve, what people have been clamoring for, you know, trying to meet everybody in the middle.
Yeah.
While not really compromising too much on the original intent, you know, having touch being a first class citizen, but also not leaving behind the desktop. And I know a lot of people still run laptops. They like the mice, they like the keyboards, you know, to getting real work done. It's kind of one of those things where if you impact muscle memory, it is very difficult to retrain. And, you know, we want to try and keep people's muscle memory alive.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're definitely listening to feedback and trying to address them in the, you know, most forward-thinking way possible.
Yeah, and the really nice part about Build is we finally got to talk about what's going on inside Microsoft, and that's the really cool thing, because inside Microsoft, people don't realize that it feels different. It's a, it's a new era for the company, and we all feel that here. But then we couldn't really talk about what we're working on and the direction that we're going and the path, and now we're able to share that. That's awesome, because things are getting very interesting.
We feel rejuvenated, revitalized.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of feels back in the early 2000s again. Mm-hmm. That same passion is kind of being rekindled again.
Yeah. And speaking of touch devices, this is my new laptop. So I got the Yoga 2 Pro. So, yeah, you can do this. You can do this. Very cool. So
yeah, I've sold like four of these machines to people.
You work
that I know.
In the Microsoft store now?
No, but I like to, when people ask me, you know, what machine that they should get, I like to do the research for them, find the right thing in the right price range.
And you procure it for them?
And I get it for them, set it up, you know, get rid of any extraneous software.
I didn't know this was a service that you provided, but now that I do, I'm going to have to.
It's for people that I like.
Oh, okay, that's it. All right, then. Well, first question from Devin. Hey, Gov and Larry, I have a question about file names and paths. We have users that like to create long file names and put them in even longer subfolders several deep. Some users run into the issue when they go to open the files and the path is too long. I know the limit is set to 260 characters, but is there a supported way, to increase this through a group policy for Windows 7 and up through the 2008 domain?
It's not even so much a supported or unsupported thing. It is technically, well, I'm going to backtrack a fair amount in my exposition here, and go back a little bit in history of the 260 character max path. It all stems back from the original DOS.
Yeah. No one will ever need it more than 260.
Back then it was the 8.3 file name character. So when you're thinking about, you know, nested folders in an 8.3 namespace, how complex a folder structure would look like that, right? Mm-hmm. Again, it was one of those things for being memory constrained, efficiency. So what we did when we went, you know, to 9X, when we had long file name support added, we still had to live within the 8.3 260 character path in order for the legacy applications to access those files.
Yeah.
So when we say, well, can't you just raise the limit? It's unfortunately just not that simple, because if you raise the limit of what files can be stored where, you know, greater than 260 max path, applications that were not designed for it won't be able to access those files, mm-hmm. right? They go and try and access it, and it'll be a path too long. Or it'll be truncated, and they sit, like the NTFS simply will not be able to give them that path. It won't be able to give them a handle to it. The 260 character max path is a Win32 subsystem limitation. There's the NT style file path naming convention, which is a double backslash question mark backslash, which would take you up to 32K. Mm-hmm. That would be a method of accessing files longer in locations that are longer than max path. But you still have the same problem in that the applications have to be designed around that, and you lose a lot of the file parsing rules that we have in the Win32 namespace for sanitizing files, the file names, so that they're ensured to be valid file names mm-hmm. in the Win32 namespace.
And so if I was using a 32-bit office and mm-hmm. I had that, that would be a problem? Or no? I still open files that were in a...
Longer than 260? No, Office can't open them. Explorer can't open them.
Yeah, because a lot of us run off, even though we have 64-bit machines, a lot of us will still run 32-bit Office.
Yeah, and it has absolutely nothing to do with the bitness of the application. Mm-hmm. If you have a 64-bit app, it's still going to be limited, unless, of course, it has been specifically designed to not... not be under the 260 max path limit and to use the NT style naming convention to access all files.
Yeah.
Now, you might ask, well, why can't Explorer be updated to go beyond this 260 max path, right? Well, the problem there is multifold. You have shell extensions that aren't designed to get a path that is longer than 260. Mm-hmm. And if you go back a little bit further, it's like, okay, where does this 260 come from, right? Well, it's a define in a header somewhere that basically says max path is 260 characters. So they allocate memory based on that. When they allocate the memory based on that, it's a compile time thing, right? So you can't just change it on them. All they've allocated is 260 characters for the max path. If you suddenly pass it something that's greater than that, you're going to overflow a buffer. You're going to get a truncated name that the application still will not be able to open. Mm-hmm. It's not a dynamically created memory location. Now, if there was something in the system like an API that you could call to say, you know, allocate memory for me of the current max path the OS is going to have, that could work, because dynamically allocated memory would work for that particular application, maybe, depending on the modules that are loaded by that application.
Yeah.
Everything would have to be compiled to call an API that would allocate the memory, that would know what that size is, that would have to pass through all of the stacks within the application. So if you have an app, say Adobe, right? Adobe is not completely Adobe code. There's going to be libraries, third-party libraries that come with it that they've, you know, linked in. Those libraries, if they have to do any kind of path management, are going to have to be called with this new API. They have to know about something that is greater than the 260 max path, right? Like, everything and their dog is limited right now to the knowledge that the max path is 260. Some people, they, you know, even if you gave them a new value in the Windows SDK and asked them to recompile, yes, it would have a different value of max path, but other people have just hard-coded it.
Yeah.
Right? They're not taking it from the header. There's just an assumption that max path has always been 260, so they'll have 260. So it's actually a problem we've been struggling with for ages, right? Mm-hmm. We know that it is too short for a lot of scenarios, which is why the only mechanism today is to go to the NT-style paths to write your applications or scripts in that method. And you can be certain that as long as you're only passing those paths to scripts or applications that you control, that you've designed with the NT-style paths, then you're okay. Yeah. But unfortunately, not everything has evolved to that. And like I said, you do lose out on a lot of the file name sanitation that occurs.
Yeah.
We have a KB, an MSDN article AA365247 that describes the various path limitations, how they're used in various subsystems that I highly recommend you go or people go read to get a better understanding of this.
Yeah.
Because it is very complex, and in order to maintain backwards compatibility, it does impose a lot of limitations. And mm-hmm. you know, if you say, well, what about for something brand new? Don't worry about the backwards compatibility. Well, that's possible, right?
Yeah.
For Windows RT, we technically should have done
now,
it.
They say that now, and then you do it, and then it's like, oh, what happened?
Right.
So, yeah, just keep it working. That's the better path. And this is the age of Twitter. I mean, that's almost twice as many characters as Twitter. So if you can use Twitter and get away with it, then come on.
So for going back to the original question about, you know, they've opened up, they've created files and directories that are too long and it's very difficult to access those files.
Yeah.
There's a couple of different approaches that you can do in order to get access to those files, again, in an easy method. If it's on a network share, you just map a drive that is further in to the directory structure.
Yeah.
That would then, it basically resets your root.
Yeah, it cuts off the first part, the long first part.
And if you're on your local system and you've done the same thing, you can use the subst command, S-U-B-S-T.
Yeah.
And that is essentially the same idea. It maps a drive letter into a folder location. Mm-hmm. And then you can cut out the leading portion of the folder that's taking up too much of the max path.
That's a good idea. Okay. All right. Next question from our buddy Daniel at Wacom. Hey, how you doing, Daniel? He says, I set up a VM in Azure and noticed that it comes with a floppy drive, at least by default. Haven't seen one of those in a while. What gives?
It's actually just a setting that's available in a VM. Some people need a floppy drive in order to, depending on the OS that they're loading, in order to load network drivers during setup. Obviously, there's no BIOS that's required for the VM.
Yeah.
But you can just configure the VM to disable the floppy drive.
Yeah.
There's nothing really special about it.
Yeah. All right, from Terry. Wonder if you have any ideas on how to get Outlook icon back in the live tile on my start screen. See highlighted tile and attach crop screenshot. It was there until a couple of weeks ago, but it's mysteriously disappeared, and I can't seem to get it back, even if I unpin the tile from the start screen and repin it.
It was really, really unintuitive. So if you go to the start screen, mine is not very interesting. And I don't have Office installed here. So what would show up is all of the various Office apps would show, but the Outlook tile itself was just a solid blue color.
Yeah.
Couldn't get it back for whatever reason. And very unintuitively, the fix for that is to go to Windows Update, on the classic control panel,
mm-hmm.
and Service Pack 1 was waiting. So just install the Service Pack 1.
Okay. All right. Well, that's easy.
But again, unintuitive.
Yeah, yeah. All right, from Andre, my 8.1 tablet only has 32 gig of storage, so it'd be nice if I could use a new WinBoot feature, and then he's got a KB or a DN594399. Is it possible to easily convert the current Win 8.1 to a WinBoot Windows?
Unfortunately, no. And for a little bit of background, what WinBoot is something new with Update 1 for new machines that are low drive space.
Yeah.
Basically, when you install the system, it's a compressed image of the Windows install. So it's a WIM. It has all of the files of the system in there, you know, System32, NTDL, kernel, blah, 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 blah. All it is a compressed file rather than the exploded files on disk. This serves actually a couple of really useful features in that as files get updated and edited that are part of the WIM, they get projected onto the disk as real files, but then are linked such that the file that would have originally been read from the WIM is no longer read, it's read from the exploded, updated file that's sitting on the disk outside of the WIM. But the benefit to this is that, A, the system drive is compressed, so it saves a little bit of space there in and of itself. But the super cool feature of it is when you do a reset of your PC, if something mm-hmm. goes wrong, you don't need a recovery image anymore. the actual compressed WIM, the WIM boot, is your recovery image. So because this file is read-only, the WIM itself is read-only, all edits to it occur outside of the WIM. If you need to blow your system away, you just reset back and you have the original WIM, and you don't have a second copy of it in another partition, the recovery image. So you've now saved a significant portion of your drive by going the WIM boot route.
Nice.
But it does require a clean setup of the machine in order to lay down the WIM. Now, there are methods to take an image of the system, as Andre was asking, to create an image of the currently running system as a WIM. You could lay that down, but it's currently not supported. You have to go through the clean install, laying it down as from setup as a WIM boot.
Cool. Okay. Next question. I've been looking for information about using a second monitor and thought about using a touchscreen. Will a touchscreen monitor work in a dual setup if it's not the main monitor? I haven't found any information on this. I've only found information about the touchscreen being the main monitor.
There's no reason why it won't work.
Okay. All right. There you have it.
I mean, you just switch in the classic control panel. Screen resolution. You just... right now, since I'm displaying to this, you'd set your other monitor as the primary,
mm-hmm.
and you'd have that one as your touchscreen.
Okay. Next question. Despite there being a popular GUI way of doing this from the control panel, indexing options applet, which can also be reached through Windows Explorer options, I would like to add remove locations from the Windows Vista and 7 search index from the command line. Is there a way to do this?
There is. I found actually a WordPress blog about it, powertoe.wordpress.com. PowerShell tackles the Windows desktop search. He goes into a programmatic method to create a PowerShell commandlet that will manipulate the search indexer, that will allow you to add and remove search index locations, as well as another script which requires the microsoft.searchinterop.dll that you can get from microsoft.com, download details ID 7388, and I will leave this up so people can read it, and we can add it to the show notes if required. That will be able to add scope, and you could also create a remove user scope rule. So yes, you can do this through PowerShell using our interop DLLs.
There you go. All right, next question. Every other recent version of Windows let you create a shortcut and assign a key combination to its properties like Control-Alt-N. Windows 8 seems to only allow you to open apps this way, not documents. How do I regain this ability for multiple text files and spreadsheets whose shortcuts are in my muscle memory? So I don't, that wasn't the case with documents in the past, was it?
I don't remember
it. I don't think documents you could. And I think where the confusion comes from is, unlike applications, if you have a document that you want to do a hotkey for, you have to make a shortcut to it. So just hold Control Shift, drag the document, make a shortcut anywhere. Then you can right click on that new shortcut icon, choose properties, and go in there and set your hotkey.
Right.
So there you go. Next question.
Although you get really limited number of hotkeys from doing that.
Yeah, you don't have a ton, but if you have a couple that you use all the time, and I can think of a couple that I have, that I should probably set up a hotkey and save a little bit of time. All right, I just got this computer today, and I was creating my account and pulling all my information onto the computer. Something popped up and asked me about a 4-digit PIN to make remembering my passwords easier, so I did so. I create a PIN that I type in, the computer automatically enters in my original password. Now every time I sign out, there's a digital calculator looking thing on there asking for the 4-digit PIN, and when I type it in, it logs me in automatically. The thing is, I don't want this, I just want my normal password, and I'd like to sign on with a normal password rather than the PIN to remember it for me.
Okay, so that one's pretty simple. This is, I don't think you specified, this is Windows 8 and above.
Yeah.
You go to Settings, Change PC Settings, go to Accounts, My Account Sign-In Options. Okay, so you have a PIN here. Now, I haven't added the PIN. It will give you an option to remove it.
Okay.
So that's all you have to do. Remove the PIN, and then log out, log back in, and you'll have a password again. I personally like the pin. It's easier. It works out really well for the phone because mm-hmm. then it's just one pin in order to get into all the devices.
Yeah.
My wife definitely likes that. You know, don't want to have to memorize multiple things.
Yeah.
That we, you know, rotate.
Yeah. So I use Picture Password now, and I kind of
how do you like
that.
It?
It's pretty cool. I like it. My wife isn't a big fan of it, though. She just wants to type in a password. But I like doing the picture thing. So, all right. Something for everyone. All right, pick of the week time. Pick of the week. And so this week's pick of the week, one is Let the Build Binge Begin. So we have all these videos that we're putting up from the Build Conference. And I got to go back and look at some of them because I was busy with Channel 9 Live, and there's so many that I want to watch. I missed part of the first keynote too, so I want to see that as well. But you can go to, you can go to Channel 9 and you can see all the videos as we put them up. There's an event section. If you go to Channel 9 real quick, I'll show people where to find this stuff. Channel 9. Channel 6. Come on. All right, so look up at the top. You've got events. Build. There you go. Just click on that and then click on Build 2014. You can find all of them in there, including the Channel 9 Lives, the sessions, the keynotes, and everything. So there you have it.
The universal apps are going to be pretty darn cool.
Yeah.
You can do that now.
Yeah.
Building both Windows Store apps and Windows Phone apps mm-hmm. at the same time. And how that will extend out in the future.
Yeah. Got a first look at Cortana. That was awesome.
You like Cortana?
Love Cortana. Yeah. It was really cool.
I've heard external feedback on Cortana that it is potentially significantly better than some of the competition that exists.
I saw that. A couple links here and there.
Yeah. And the best thing is that it's not even final.
Yeah.
I mean, there is room to improve.
Yeah, there's a great path there, so it'll be interesting. And then the other thing that we wanted to mention, too, is Windows XP. Rest in peace. pour one out for XP. It had a good long run.
And, it did.
It was nice that so many people embraced it for so long. But come on, it's time to do something new. So
we appreciate people loving the operating system for so long.
Yeah.
However, there is impetus to get to the next OS, and we strongly feel that those that give it a chance will come to love our more current operating systems.
Yeah.
Whether that be Windows 7 or Windows 8.1.
Yeah.
But do give it a chance. We know people have a very strong attachment to their old computers.
Yeah.
They know it extremely well. We invite you to learn our new OSs extremely well.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, the thing with XP is it is everywhere, and it's on a lot of machines that people probably don't have top of mind as far as upgrading. I saw some pictures on Facebook. Someone posted a picture. There was one in an airport that was mm-hmm. running on a kiosk there. And so there'll be people using it for a long time. I'm sure we know that.
I was out at Snoqualmie Falls this past weekend, and they have a touchscreen info thing on one of their billboards.
Yeah.
You know, the information board kind of thing. And it was running the screensaver, which is kind of funny that they configured it that way. It was, Windows XP, Tablet Edition, you know, running touch, going,
aw. Oh, I miss Tablet Edition.
It's like the nostalgia's there, and it's like, I desperately want to go and upgrade them.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, here, free service, man. Yeah. I'll do it for free.
Yeah. Awesome. So, yeah, that's it. And I saw another something someone posted on Facebook that said, they linked to an article. It was like how to make XP secure for the future.
Mm-hmm.
And he said,
"Don't connect it to the internet."
Is secure? Windows 8.
Right.
You can just go to Windows 8 and be very secure. So, it's time to get all those taken over bots off the internet and do something new. All right, so that's the show for this week. If you have questions, you can write us at defragshow@microsoft.com. Leave us comments. We love the interaction, though. Send us an email. See you next week.
Take care.